Well, I think I have mentioned before that when we read such a great, rich passage of Scripture, such as this one that you have heard read from Ephesians, the third chapter, you probably say, well, now then, what part of these verses is the preacher going to talk to us about today? I wish I could just talk with you about all of them, because I think the more that you look at these verses, indeed the richer they do seem to be. Well, let me start by saying this. We have so many good folks here this morning, any number of visitors that are with us, some from distant places and some from close by. But I want to tell you, as I look out on the audience, what I see. And what I see is the family of God. The family of God. Let's look at these two verses, verse 14 and 15 again. If you have not opened your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, let me give you just a moment while you do that to rehearse in your mind the words that are to be found here. But the Apostle Paul, talking, writing to Christians at Ephesus, says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Oh, how rich, how wonderful, how full of thought is this idea that those who are followers of Jesus Christ are in the family of God. Those of us folks who meet here at Courthouse on a regular basis, we understand that, yes, that is indeed what we are. We are really just that section. We are just that part of the family of God that meets here in this place on a regular basis. But stop and think about it. Whether you are meeting with Christians in some other place, those who are faithfully, who are humbly, who are sincerely wanting to worship, to serve the God of heaven, and you've become obedient to His commandments, that makes us the family of God. I'm impressed with the fact here in verse 15 when it says, "from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Well, just like an earthly family that bears the name of their earthly father, so it is with the family of God. Whenever the Christian says with full knowledge and understanding, "Well, I am a part of the family of God," he is saying, "My heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, that's who I belong to. I am not a part of the churches of men. I do not even want to be associated in that way, but to be the family of God." I wonder, as we just think about that this morning, you say, "Well, Brother Tope, that is such a simple thing for us to think about." And yes, I think it is in that sense of the word. But how very, very wonderful it is. Who are we? Well, whenever we say that we are the family of God, that we bear the name of God whom we worship and adore, that means that we're brothers and sisters, doesn't it? Every one of us we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, we might allow our mind to rove right now. And again, as we try to gain some comparisons from earthly families, we might say, you know, I'm glad. If the case is, I'm glad that I have an earthly family. I remember my mother and father, my brothers and sisters so well, and I remember all that has taken place in our family. Well, those are some of the things that I would like to talk with you about this morning as we consider, yes, consider first of all the blessings. I think that's what God wants us to think about foremostly. The blessings that are found in the family of God. And I want to assure you right in the very beginning that really there is no way in which I could enumerate all of the blessings that are found in the Bible that would tell us the things that the family of God, we brothers and sisters in Christ, all of the things that we enjoy, all of the things that we have in common. It's no wonder that the Scripture talks about that salvation as being a common salvation, because the very thing that binds us together as family, the very thing that causes us to be brothers and sisters in Christ is, well, we all believe the same thing. We have all been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you were a visitor among us for the very first time and did not know anything about the family of God, I think one of the things that we would say, we rejoice in being brothers and sisters in Christ because every single one of us have been born again. And maybe our visitor at that stage would say, well, you know, I remember reading someplace there in the Gospels about this matter of being born again. And we might remind them about this man, Nicodemus, that came to Jesus by night. And we might even say to them, you know, if you turn over to the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, you find out how it is that one gets into this family of God. Well, they're born into it. And Jesus had said to that man Nicodemus, and it was kind of a revelation to him, wasn't it? But Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, the family of God. Well, you know, there are none of us that could be in God's family. There are none of us that could be brothers and sisters in Christ, or to be able to call Jesus our elder brother, or to be able to refer to our Father who is indeed in heaven. What makes that available to us, and how is that such a blessing? Oh, we've all been born again. We've all been born again. Oh, we can talk about the wonders of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I have to warn you, if you come back tonight, you're going to get a sort of a double dose of what we're talking about this morning as we talk about joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. Do you have that kind of joy? Well, if you're in the family of God, you do. Because you say, look at all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is something that we share in common that those who are not in the family, no, they do not have that. We've all been born again. We're new creatures that are in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. What are we saying? Oh, God has forgiven us of our sins. God has forgiven us. That's what has made us the children of God. How could we leave out whenever we are talking about the special blessings, the great blessings that are given to Christians? How could we leave out this matter of prayer? Oh, I know there are so many people that are in the world. You know, when our children were growing up in South Africa, every day they went to an assembly, and the entire group stood up, and they began that assembly by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed." Well, you know that, don't you? How many people are there in the world when they are finding themselves in distress, or maybe at some other time whenever they say, "Well, now then, you know, we want to remember God, so let's all say," what do they call it? Let's all say the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, you can memorize a thing like that. You can know it word perfectly. You could say it repeated every day. But do you know that it is only the family of God? It is only those that have been born into the family who are brothers and sisters. I hope I'm not boring anybody. We are the family of God. And in every time of joy, in every time of rejoicing, but oh, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, in every time of distress, we can fall down on our knees and we can say, Our Father. Galatians 4, Abba, Father. And He promises He will hear our prayers. He promises that He will help us. You know, one of the great things about these New Testament epistles, I hope you read them often, but one of the wonderful things about these New Testament epistles is that it spells out exactly how the family of God, how we brothers and sisters that are in Christ are going to be able to help one another. Would you look at Romans, the 12th chapter, with me now just for a moment? I make no apology for reading what may be considered a lengthy passage, but in Romans, the 12th chapter, this is the way verse 10 is going to begin. Paul says to the Roman Christians, to those who were in God's family, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." And now look. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Have you had the privilege as one of God's children of associating with a group of Christians like that? I hope you have. I hope here at Courthouse that we will continue to say, you know, that is exactly what is to be our relationship with one another. I do not know of a single winter where this congregation has been harder hit with illnesses and death than this winter. Sister Lori, our brother Lynn, we think of our sister Sissy that has passed away. And even though Richard's parents were not members of this congregation, how many prayers, how many offerings, how many gifts, how much sympathy has been shown. And then all of us, as we have had the various illnesses, aren't you glad that you do not have to stand alone? Aren't you glad that every day you can think, well, now then, My brethren are being fervent in prayer. My brethren, well, they are rejoicing with me when things are well, but you know, they're sorrowing with me when that is the occasion. I think there is probably something that is unique about the family of God. Now, I'm still talking to you about our blessings. I think there is something that is unique about the family of God. Everyone that is in the family, every one of you sisters, every one of you brothers, you're important. Now, I didn't say that right. Everyone who is in the family of God, they are just as important as every other member of that family. Do you remember how well Paul explains that this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Now, this really is a long reading, but it's all connected together. And I hope whenever you go home this afternoon, if someone says, what did that preacher talk about? And you say, oh, you know, we all studied together about being the family of God, being brothers and sisters, and how it is that it does not matter who I am, young or old, talented or not talented, it does not matter at all. Okay, before I say more, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 12 right on through 26. Paul says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, think about it, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, I am confident that the Holy Spirit is filling Paul's mind as he uses these illustrations. And maybe we speak of it in a humorous way, but oh, there's such a wonderful lesson for us. So let's read on. If the foot should say, verse 15, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Can you just think of a body that's one big eye? Wouldn't that be some? Or how about big ears? Maybe just one big ear. And we say, well, I know about one big foot because I often get into trouble that way. But the spiritual body, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all one. And so I read on, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. You see, he's the one that made it. God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no division, no tear, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let me tell you something, but it's what you already know. If you are a part of God's family and where you meet, if the folks are like that, you count yourself blessed indeed. And if you're in a group where they're quarreling and fighting and they're torn apart, or they've lost sight of the fact that they are supposed to be the servants, the family of God, you do everything you can to try to get them straightened out. Doesn't have to do with the size of the congregation at all, does it? They're blessings. Take them home with you. Think about them and read about them. But there's responsibilities. Now this is the second part of our lesson this morning. Blessings we receive as brothers and sisters in Christ. Responsibilities because every one of us are important, because every member is to play an active part in this family. Responsibilities. Well, we're not left wondering what those responsibilities are. First of all, we have so many wonderful spiritual responsibilities so that every member, I think every brother and sister in Christ that has given any thought to the teachings of the New Testament, they have a responsibility in the family of God. We have a responsibility, every single one, every brother, every sister, to meet steadfastly. But we're not meeting for fun and games. We're not meeting to socialize. Oh, it's all right to socialize sometimes, but that's not the purpose of our being in the family of God. To meet steadfastly, are you listening? To meet steadfastly, to worship and study together. Perhaps when you were first introduced to the gospel, someone took you to Acts, the second chapter, and you read how it was that when these people were cut to the very heart, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41 says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and it was they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Oh, now verse 42, that's where we are. Responsibilities for all brothers and sisters that are in Christ. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. I want to add 46 and 47. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." What are our duties as the children of God? Oh boy, not to let a single meeting time go by. If we can be present, if we can help it at all, Bible study. Bible study. Bring your family. Come and study the Word of God. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, in fellowship. Forget that coffee and cake business that people talk about as fellowship. Fellowship is sharing in the things of the kingdom. In the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. That's both a privilege and a responsibility. There's spiritual work for all of us to fulfill. No, God did not intend. We've already noticed that there are different talents, different things that they do. But you know, there are things that need to be done. Preaching. Teaching. Attending classes. Ladies, as you have that privilege to prepare the Lord's Supper, the elements that are there, have you girls ever done that? Have you ever said, "This month I want to have that privilege of taking care of preparing the Lord's Supper"? What a wonderful duty. Coming early. In order to greet visitors. and to grow in those skills. Grow in those skills. How many? Well, every one of us. Every one of us. Fellas, brothers, it has been requested that we have a meeting of the men. I think it's long overdue to have a meeting of the men in order that we may talk about, discuss, offer suggestions on the things that need to be done in the physical upkeep of the brethren. Do you remember having read back in the Psalms, the 84th chapter, let me read this. Psalm 84 and verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I have to tell you, I wondered whether I should bring this into the lesson, but it seems important that we do, to communicate. You say, well, Brother Talk, what needs to be done? What kind of physical upkeep of the building? Have you noticed whenever you come to the building that we have a tornado every day out there at the front of the building? CJ, have you recalled how many times you've had to sweep the front of the building? It doesn't matter if you do it today, it has to be done again tomorrow, doesn't it? Well, you say, Gene, are you saying that I ought to get the broom and sweep the... Yeah, I am. You come in, don't you gripe and say, who's taking care of this? There's leaves out there. Well, you're a doorkeeper. You're a doorkeeper. You know something that's fun? Trying to clean out the candy wrappers and the chewing gum that's been dropped, you know where? Where the visitors' cards are. I think, not in a way of punishment, but I think if you had to fish in there some way or other, and to get that stuff out, you would never let your child put anything in there. Work inside and out. That's what the men are going to be talking about. You ladies, you tell your husbands or tell one of the men some of the things that needs to be done. We're not going to leave the ladies out of this, and one of these times we'll just have a general time when anybody and everybody write out your suggestion, what needs to be done. Whenever you come in the building, if you want to go through and straighten up the song books and to be sure every place has a visitor's card and one of those nice new pens that we built, you do that. Many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. All right, I could go on, and I'm almost ashamed to have to talk about it. But Let me finish. James and John, I'm at Matthew 20. James and John, their mama had some high ambitions. Grant that my sons may sit at your left hand and your right hand when you come into the kingdom. And I'll tell you, that sure made some fellows mad. Matthew 20:24. When the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet, brothers and sisters, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Greatness. You want to be great in God's family? It lies in service, not in ordering others around, not in telling others what they ought to be doing. The greatest among us are those who will be servants. Are you a part of God's family? The same thing applies to everyone. Confess your faith in Christ. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Be baptized as you turn away from the world and as you enter into the family of God. And the rewards are great. All right, let's stand and sing. Let's be led in that good song. Let us help you.